Welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us here. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Power to Play Sports poll question. Biggest offseason loss for the Broncos, Philip Lindsay or Kareem Jackson? And yes, theoretically, the Broncos could call either one of those guys and sign them, I suppose. But no, they're no longer members of the Denver Broncos. Kareem Jackson, we had a comment earlier. Kareem Jackson, I mean, they asked him to restructure his deal, perhaps even signing a long-term deal, and he wouldn't do it, so they let him go. Kind of similar to what they did with Von Miller, but that was too much. That was Denver decided. They kind of gambled a little bit there, I suppose. Von Miller bet on himself, knowing that, hey, if I don't take a pay cut, they're going to cut me, and then I got to go somewhere else, and I might not get even close to what I was going to get from Denver. So he gambled, and he won. I don't know. People were bummed, kind of, that Von didn't take the pay cut. They heard that the Broncos wanted to restructure the deal with Von, and then the news came out that Von basically said, no, I'm not going to take a pay cut. Denver kept him anyway. I don't really have that issue. You know, if you're at work, I know these are two different things, and I get it. It's hard to compare real person work with football and sports. But we wouldn't, Colfax, if you're at a job and you know that, hey, you could make way more, but I'm going to take a pay cut so that we can keep, you know, Billy on. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about your family, your payments, your mortgage, and no one's going to fault you if you say, yeah, I would like to take the raise and keep the raise. You know, nobody wants a pay cut. I don't have an issue with Von doing it. Do I applaud players that do it? Absolutely. When Tom Brady does it, Patrick Mahomes does it, and we hear about it, great. But here's the thing with Denver. They got a lot of cap space. What were they going to do with that money anyway? They were going to spend $14 million probably on another pass rusher, or they weren't going to, because the pass rusher market went away quickly. And Denver looked at that and didn't act fast enough and stuck with their guy. I really don't have an issue with it. In fact, I'm curious to see what hopefully, knock on wood here, what a full year with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb would look like if they're healthy together. I mean, I think we haven't got to see that. You know, I mean, Chubb was a rookie, and so, I mean, that was good. Chubb had a monster rookie year. Then the second year, Chubb gets hurt. Last year, Vaughn gets hurt. So, yeah, we got to see the first year, I suppose, but, you know, Chubb's a much better player now. He might not be living up to his top five pick status, but he's a very good player still. And then you're also seeing that George Payton, you know, they don't like this move with Philip Lindsay. They think they did. Did they treat him unfairly? Probably throughout this process. But is Philip Lindsay, I don't even know, Colfax. I don't know if they treated him unfairly. I mean, if this would have been anybody else, if this was C.J. Anderson, would we be having an issue with it as much? No, because Philip's a local guy, and I get it. We all root heavily for guys that grew up in Colorado. And then, you know, we root pretty good for guys that played for a Colorado college. You know, so we like those stories. They're great stories. Is Philip Lindsay, was he worth it at that stage anymore? Was it worth, I mean, I heard some commentary that was like, you know what, Philip Lindsay made the Broncos look bad every year, except for last year, for not taking care of him, for not drafting him, for everything that they've gone through. And he made the Broncos look bad at the beginning of last season. But Melvin Gordon ended up proving that he was the better back. There was really no debate toward the end of the season. Pat Shurmur didn't seem to click with Lindsay. They didn't really know how to use him that well. So I don't know. And then they go out and they get Mike Boone. They sign him to a 2-year contract. He's 25 years old. He played in 40 games. He rushed for 71. He had 71 carries for only 370 yards. So, I mean, this name isn't. So that's the part that kind of bothers me. Why not just keep Lindsay roughly $1 million off? I mean, Lindsay's probably worth more than Mike Boone. But why not at that stage just keep a guy that's more of a proven commodity? Like I said, I don't think they treated him unfairly. But I'm just looking at the two backs here. Who would you rather have? Mike Boone or, and I don't have the details in front of me of the contract, but it's a two-year deal. I can't imagine it's much more than like $2 million a year for Mike Boone. And is Philip Lindsay a $3 to $4 million a year kind of guy? Probably. So, yeah, you're talking the difference between a few million, maybe. So if Denver's, you know, really pinching pennies now that the Von Miller deal is done, they're trying to watch every move. I guess, but I mean, at that stage, why not just hang on to Philip Lindsay? Or is this more or less saying, hey, we're clearing the way. It's Melvin Gordon. He's the featured back. We're not going to waste as much time setting up plays for Lindsay. And if we're going to pay Philip Lindsay $4 to $5 million, then yeah, he's going to have to be involved in the playbook heavily. Mike Boone, you know, Levante Bellamy, Royce Freeman, those are guys, yeah, we're not going to design special plays for him. But Denver tried to. They didn't design special plays for Lindsay, but they would not announce that Philip Lindsay was not the starter. They never said that, Colfax. I think they listed them both as starting running backs. So they tried to show Lindsay some respect in that regard, and they used him quite a bit. Make no mistake about it. Mike Boone, Royce Freeman, those guys will get carries to give Melvin Gordon a rest. That's what it was. Lindsay was actually getting carries because, okay, it was a change of pace kind of guy. We do see value with him. So this move is also saying we don't really think we need to have a stacked backfield. We don't really want a two-headed monster. We want one running back to be the featured back in this thing. First Advantage text line is 970-478-3166. Yeah, Brady, keep throwing money at the past. He'll never catch Chief Dixon. He's buying all into this Chiefs thing, man. He's buying all in. He has transformed. I gotta give him credit, Colfax. He is dedicated to his character now. His bet. He's not just saying he's rooting for the Chiefs. He's actually doing it.
Good for him, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Feels like we lost one.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Feels like we lost one.
Yeah.
To the dark side.
To the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens sometimes.
I've never seen this before.
A guy just switching his allegiance like this? Well, he lost the bet, right? Or he made his own bet.
Yeah.
He was that confident in Colorado State that he said, hey, if they don't get in, I'm going to be a Chiefs fan with Dixon. And you know what? He could have just disappeared that text and nobody would ever know. But he's sticking with it.
He's holding to it.
I respect him for that. But he's turning on his fandom, his Broncos fandom, Colfax.
Yeah, hardcore.
It is a little tough. It's a tough one to take, tough pill to swallow. Do you think Philip Lindsay was treated unfairly, this whole process? I mean, that's what the roar is. You know, 90% of the media out there in Colorado's going to out there, like we're in Wyoming or something, is going to say that, yes, he was treated unfairly here.
At this point, no. And honestly, if you look at his career with the Broncos as a whole, it's almost like the Broncos knew what they had the whole time.
Right, which is why they never signed him to a long-term deal.
Exactly.
John Elway and, newsflash, general managers all over the NFL tend to say things and do other things. say one thing and do a completely different thing. He's a fan favorite. Yep. So was Tim Tebow. Remember when John Elway was asked, is Tim Tebow the guy? Yeah, he is. He's the guy. As of right now, he's the guy. He didn't even say that. He said he's the guy. Peyton Manning is released by the Colts. No. He's the guy. That's the one over there. Manning. We want that one. And Broncos fans were mad. They were Tebow fans were crying about this. Oh, he lied to us. Elway lied to us. No, it's sports. You don't know who's going to come available. And when Gordon was ultimately let go, Denver went out. We all thought it was a strange move. Denver didn't see it. And listen, after last season, do you find yourself kind of going, you know what, maybe I don't see it. Maybe those were just two good years because the Broncos have had a history of running backs being good for a year or two, and then they're bye-bye. You know, it's gone. Only great running backs can do it every single year. And Melvin Gordon might not be listed as a great running back, but I would say he's still considered top-tier running back. Lindsay is not a top-tier running back. And I think we saw that last year. And I was wrong. I'll admit it. I thought Lindsay was special. I thought he was going to be a special player for the Broncos. I honestly think he's going to sign somewhere in the AFC West. And he might have a couple of good games. I think he fades. I think he fades, and he's not going to be top-tier running back. He'll be a third-string kind of guy for about 3 or 4 years, maybe. And then he's done. That's my prediction on it. But I don't know, Colfax. I think you're right. Maybe the Broncos, I don't know that they treated him unfairly. They never really believed in him. They didn't draft him. They picked him up as a free agent because, all right, this is a talented guy. We'll put him in camp and see what happens. Oh, he won a job.
So could this be an argument for a John Elway win where he got a good amount of production out of a
guy, another undrafted guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I consider Philip Lindsay a win, even though you didn't make the playoffs in those two successful years for Lindsay. People think that Lindsay made the Broncos look bad in this whole deal. Nobody drafted him. Newsflash, nobody drafted him. So all this talk about the Broncos treating Philip Lindsay poorly, yes, I thought they should have drafted him. I thought for sure he was a fourth, fifth round guy. But nobody drafted him, probably because the staying power. They didn't think that Philip Lindsay was going to have the staying power. You know, sure, 1,000-yard season is neato. It is.
Yeah.
But you got to do it every single year if you want to be a premier back. Yeah. And It sucks.
That sucks. We
love him as a fan, but I don't know that it's the wrong decision. And again, if you do sign him, you know, he's, like I said, he's going to be a $4 or $5 million guy, maybe more. You that says you have to give him carries. You have to give him work. None of these other guys that we're talking about, Mike Boone, Royce Freeman, those guys are backups. Those guys are going to be backups. And they're going to be guys that can just fill a gap when they need to. He said, Chris, to be truthful, fellas, haven't got much sleep lately. Perhaps acquisition of Watson can sway me. Any of this, has this changed your opinion of that, Hooligans? If you're the Broncos, are you calling Houston anymore? Or is any team? Because now it's six. We're, three lawsuits are filed, but we have six reported sexual misconduct, allegations, whatever, toward Deshaun Watson. So, the team stay away for now. This will be very interesting to see how this plays out. 17 minutes after the hour, we'll switch gears. We're going to talk Nuggets next. Nikola Jokic with another triple-double. He is climbing the charts, man. He's right behind James Harden. We'll talk to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV about it next.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, that's fitting because our next guest is, in fact, that person, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, man, first off, how are you, my friend? It's always good to catch up with you.
Ah, doing great. The sun is shining. The snow is melting.
What was your shoveling experience like, Chris? I'm curious because we got, like, up here in Fort Collins, and we got close to 2 feet. Close. Not quite, but close.
Yeah, we got a legit 3 feet. So, like, I had my 4-year-old son stands about 3.5 feet tall. And so he wanted to get in the snow. And so I put him in the snow, and it was basically up to his chin.
Wow.
So that was, it was a lot of snow, and it was as bad a shoveling experience as I've ever had.
it was the worst, man. It took me hours, and I had like trees in the backyard, and my wife's like, "Hey, you got to go shake the trees, or they're all going to die." That took me forever. Snow just pouring down on me. It was a terrible experience.
Yeah, it really was. It's like, okay, Colorado, we get it. You can do this now. We understand. So. But good thing, you know, the beauty about Colorado is that it gets sunny really fast. And so if you can dig out, the Mother Nature will do the rest in terms of the melting.
Yeah, no, I've never been so happy to see it a beautiful day and just melt that stuff away, man. It was absolutely awful. Yeah. The Nuggets, though, man, they have been rolling in, they've won 7 of their last 8 games. And Nikola Jokic, let's talk about him first, Chris. I think it always starts with the Joker. 12 points, but another triple-double. He's climbing up that list.
Yeah, he is. And I thought it was a great game for him on a couple of levels. One, he played 29 minutes. You know, that's, yeah. You know, for him, every time they can get him a game where he's playing in the 20s and, you know, and obviously they're winning, then that is a plus. You know, take some of the wear and tear off of your main star. Part two was the minutes that he played. He only took 7 shots. I mean, he was not needed in the sense of he needed to put the team on his back in a scoring way, really be extra active every single possession down court, and do the heavy lifting for the team. Nope, he didn't need to do that. I mean, they had other players that were scoring, Jamal Murray and Will Barton. Michael Porter Jr. was obviously excellent in that game last night. So it took a little pressure off of Nikola. So not only did he play 29 minutes, they were probably as least pressurized 29 minutes as he's probably played all season long.
Now, Chris, I know it's rare when you blow teams out in the NBA to a point where, you know, your stars really don't have to play much. But if that starts to happen more and more, which I think we all hope, we want the Nuggets to put teams away that they're supposed to beat. How does the NBA weigh that factor in? If we look at it and go, well, Joker's not finishing games anymore because the Nuggets usually have it at hand. Because now the MVP watch is to that point, Chris, where every game counts. And if you just glance at the point total, that doesn't look like the Joker had a good game, but that's not the case.
Yeah, it's true, and it would be costly for sure. You know, it's kind of like so many years ago. We see this every now and then, but so many years ago, University of Texas was on their way to the Rose Bowl to play USC. Texas quarterback was Vince Young at the time, and Vince Young was awesome. But Texas was just steamrolling every single team that was in front of their in their way on their way to the Rose Bowl. He barely ever played in a fourth quarter at all the entire season. Meanwhile, Reggie Bush at USC was playing the entire game, all the games, the entire games, and just running right through everybody as well. His stats just were so much better at the end of the season because he played in the majority of the games that he ended up winning, the Heisman Trophy. And a lot of people would have argued that Vince was actually the better player that season. And so, yes, I think there is a scenario where if the Nuggets start playing unbelievable basketball and Joker is not playing in a lot of these fourth quarters or playing in, say, 3 or 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, and it starts to affect his overall averages, that might be a separating factor. But I will say this, we're also starting getting to the point of the season where there's no more real wild swings in your averages. So unless you're going to string together 7 or 8 straight games of 10 points,
sure,
then we're not going to see, you know, a huge percentage drop in what your averages currently are. So, in other words, what Nikola's averages are right now, that's probably what they're going to be at the end of the season, unless he goes into a prolonged slump.
Yeah, no, I love that comparison too. Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV, and let's talk about Michael Porter Jr. Man, I was a little skeptical, but it sure seems like the lights are starting to come on both sides of the floor. You're seeing a more patient Porter Jr. He's looking for his teammates more, and defensively, he doesn't look so lost out there. Is it too soon to say it's finally starting to click for MPJ?
No, I don't think so. I think the evidence that you just pointed out says so. And, you know, I think for him, the mindset was first. He had to want to be better on both ends of the court. Okay, so he checked that box. Then part two is just being out there. I think the experience of, I mean, just recently he crossed over that 82-game threshold for his career. So
yeah.
he just crossed over that. And so the experience does matter, being out there for significant minutes all the time, being able to go through all the situations, being able to make some mistakes and then understand why those mistakes were made and then understand how not to do that again is a big deal. And then I think also, you know, he's getting such regular minutes with the starters again. He's starting to mesh with Jamal and Joker and Paul Millsap and Will Barton's in the starting lineup here now as well. And, you know, I think that you can't it's hard to quantify what it means to be out there with the same five guys all the time. Because now you guys start to learn each other's game. And it's not even so much that it's not just Michael Porter Jr. has to understand how to operate with Jamal and Joker. It's those two guys have to also alter their game and understand how to operate with Michael Porter Jr., where his strengths are on the court, where does he like the ball, all those kinds of things. And so it's a learning process for everybody involved. And once that starts to iron itself out, you can see what it does for the player. And the player, Michael Porter Jr., his comfort level is up, his confidence level is up, his, you know, everything is clicking in a way that it hasn't been before, and it's only going to get better. He continues to not be a finished product, but he's on the way to doing really great things, and I think those are the reasons why.
It's huge. I mean, and yeah, the Nuggets are climbing the standings now that they're getting players back. That's a huge thing, but they're kind of getting into this rhythm. As you said, playing with the same group is huge. What can you tell us about Gary Harris at this point, Chris?
Not much. You know, it's when Michael Malone, when he re-injured himself in the Washington game, so after the Washington game, right prior to the All-Star break, I think that it was the game that he came back. He played that full game, and then he hasn't played since. The press conference after that game, Michael Malone basically said he felt awful for Gary. He re-injured it. It didn't look fantastic. So I just took that to mean that he was going to be out a significant amount of time. And, you know, that injury, he was already out for a big chunk of time before he came back. And so it could be a while before Gary Harris returns. And I think they're going to want to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's not going to go back out there in a 5-on-5 situation and be hurt again. And I don't know how they're going to do that with the schedule the way it is, because usually you would test that out in practice. But the Nuggets play every other day, and then there's back-to-backs mixed in as well. And so you don't even have 2 days off to where one of them would be a practice day, and you could see something like that. So, my mindset on Gary Harris right now is it's going to be a while before we see him again. And so, you know, that means that the starting five that we see out there, that we've seen out there, is probably going to be the starting five that's going to be out there. And so, you know, that's Jamal, Will, Paul Millsap, Michael Porter, and Joker. So, you know, and it's too bad, because the Nuggets obviously could use Gary, especially on the defensive side. But I think his health and his ability to stay healthy when he comes back on the court is first and foremost.
Yeah, no question about it. I just had a text here that said, hey, if I was picking players on a playground, I think I'd pick Joker first and then Campazzo. He's like one of the more fun, entertaining guys to watch. Chris, there's not a whole lot of players like him. I love his effort. It's just like this engine. It never stops. But now that he's kind of getting into the rhythm with this team more and learning more about this game, or the NBA game, I should say, he's becoming a pretty bit important piece to Denver.
Yeah, he is, on a couple of levels. One, turns out he's a pretty good defensive player.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially on the ball, he just doesn't give space. He moves his feet laterally really, really well. Is able to stick with a lot of quicker ball handlers. Obviously the toughness piece is there too. I mean, he's not going to give an inch, and he's going to play physically on that side. And then on offense, they put the ball more in his hands more and more and more with that second unit. And what he, you know, let's just look at his line from last night. I think he had 6 points. We had 10 assists, and then he had 4 steals.
Yeah.
And so you understand what he's doing in terms of impacting both ends of the court. But he makes that second unit, he makes a lot of sense for that second unit. He runs that offense really well. He's got great vision, obviously, with the passing. And so he gives you a chance to approximate your offense when Joker's not on the court in the respect that guys still want to cut, they still want to run hard, because they know a player like that will find them all the time, and he does. And so You know, he's been just a fabulous story. He really has been. And I think the more that he's on the court, the more indispensable he becomes to the Nuggets. I mean, he's, you know, he's got a lot of usage out there. And, you know, it's just been nice to watch him grow. And you can obviously also see he's comfortable with himself as a basketball player. He understands who he is as a basketball player. And so, you know, it's not like a typical rookie who's trying to figure everything out. Campazzo understands who he is, and he just goes out and tries to be the best version of that for himself each time on the court.
Now, they're all kind of clicking right now, and because of that, they're climbing the standings right behind the Clippers, right behind the Lakers. And who knows? We might see the Jazz and the Suns come down to earth a little bit as we get further into the second half of the season. What do you think, Chris? Will the Nuggets keep climbing? Do you see a team like the Jazz and the Suns falling a bit here in the next few weeks?
I think the Jazz are pretty good.
Yeah, I do.
I think the Jazz are a very scary basketball team to have to deal with over the course of the season. And I don't know. You know, I mean, they're not going to be as hot as they were for the majority of that stretch prior to the All-Star break. But I think they're going to be in the mix for sure. The Phoenix Suns are, I would think that would be the team that the Nuggets could most certainly catch. And I still do think that. You know, they just traded for Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, defensively, the Phoenix Suns are going to be a nightmare for teams to have to face. You know, I mean, that is Torrey Craig and Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges and Javon Carter. These players on the perimeter and Jay Crowder, who are fantastic defenders. And so that is going to be a team that's going to have to be reckoned with. So a very, very tough road for the Nuggets. The Nuggets are obviously one of the good teams, but it's on them to put together the winning streak and to now catch these other two. I think they still might catch the Suns. The Utah Jazz, that's a tougher task.
Chris, you and I talked about something 2 or 3 years ago, I think, when all these free agents were moving around, these big-time players were moving around, and we were getting more teams with stars. We said, man, look out. This NBA is going to be wild. It's going to be not just the Golden States. Now you have all these teams that have a shot. Have you ever seen it quite like this, though? You just mentioned a bunch of teams there that I don't think anybody picked to win a title. This doesn't feel like, oh, it's going to be either the Lakers or Clippers or Milwaukee or Philly. This is kind of wide open. And when's the last time we have said this is wide open when it comes to the NBA and the playoff standings?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a while. You know, I thought to a degree, you know, until the Lakers got really hot, I thought to a degree last season was kind of like that, where you could see a number of different teams really making a run. But then the Lakers got, you know, they got traction and they played great, and that's just how that went down. This year, I do still think that the Lakers are the best team. But, man, the Brooklyn Nets, how do you bet against that squad? I mean,
right.
That's James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin. I mean, that's so much talent on one team. Milwaukee obviously is starting to separate themselves from the rest of the pack as well. The Clippers, you know, so I mean, there are a number of teams. I would still say probably that the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets are the odds-on favorites to be in the NBA Finals, but the gap isn't that wide. You know, the gap isn't that wide. They are flawed enough to where any other team can beat them in a 7-game series.
Yeah, well, either way, Chris, it's going to be fun, man. I think it's going to be a playoffs like unlike we've seen in a while, just back and forth, so I'm excited about it. Always appreciate you, my friend, and I like your new measuring device as far as snow. Just throw the little one out there and then see what it is. I'm gonna start doing that now, man. It's easier.
I'm like, wait, is this legitimately 3 feet? Let's see. Amari, come over here.
I'm gonna steal that, man. I'm gonna start using it because I don't need to mess with the tape measure or anything anymore, man. I'm gonna do it. I'm stealing it.
So good,
Chris.
So good.
Appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, we'll see you, man.
All right, Chris Dempsey. He's one of the good ones, folks. He's amazing at his job, and it's awesome for us to be able to get him on this program. It does feel kind of wide open, even though, yeah, Brooklyn's stacked. Get them in the playoffs. It's not March Madness. Get these teams in the playoffs, and they click, and they're rolling. Colfax, we have, speaking of March Madness, Thursday night special. Did I just give you a hint as to what I'm picking? We're going to take a look at that. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos
Thursday,
country.
Thursday, happy days. Thursday, Thursday, happy days. Thursday, Thursday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Making a pick with you. This pick is yours. So choose to ride. This pick is yours. So please be right.
Fortune,
goodbye reason. When the lock, so
amazing, amazing things happening on this program. It is the Thursday night special. It is where I pick a game. Unlike anyone has ever picked anything ever in the history of sports picking. And I'm good at it, Colfax. Thursday, something happens, man. Something clicks. I'm able to just, I just figure it out. Last week, I went 2-1 on my Thursday night special. I did a little Colorado college action. And, you know, the Bears lost, but I did call CSU, and you see, so I 2-1, taking that. Tonight, I'm looking at a play-in game here, first four, East Region, in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, UCLA, Michigan State. This one's going to be tough, man. Both teams fighting for a chance to get in and go get destroyed by a number one seed. But still, there's some good things. When you look at Michigan State, Aaron Henry, a great player. 15 points per game, 5 rebounds per game. January Hauser, who is around a 10-point per game kind of guy. They've got a good team. The spread is Michigan State by 2. I think it's going to be more than that, man. I like the Spartans.
Hold on to your butts.
This is Sparta!
Oh, Henry right down the boulevard for 2 and a foul.
This is where we hold them. This is where we fight.
Epic.
This is where they die.
There's a scrum for it, plucked away by Michigan State. Will this be a turning point?
That's a good movie. That was a good movie.
Remember this, I forgot how much I loved this movie.
Sequel? Well, I didn't see the sequel.
Will be yours.
The sequel?
They made a sequel.
Time.
He's Liddell searching for position. Got in there. Nice thread through. Liddell scores.
I love it.
Oh man!
I love it.
Lay down your weapons. Pleasure. Come and get them.
Langford pull up. He cashes in.
The most abs I've ever seen.
What that was?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a Michigan State victory that's number 3 in a row, and they have, in a major way, trumpeted themselves as a contender for an NCAA tournament berth.
Love it. I love it. That's a great movie. That's a great movie. Spartans.
I was getting chills.
Yeah. I mean, that was a... I loved it. The second... They made a second one. I don't know what it's called, though. But...
Probably...
It was solid. Michigan State over UCLA tonight. All right. I like that one. That's 7:57 on TBS tonight. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show. We'll get to what's on TV. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules. On Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Ah, my bad, Dixon, my bad. Winner will play BYU. BYU. Oh.
Yeah.
If Michigan State gets in there, ooh, they could have a chance to move past them. I don't have that. I don't have that in my bracket, but I could happen, I suppose. What's on the tube tonight? Yeah, we got those play-in games happening. So that'll be fun, man. That UCLA Michigan State game should be pretty sweet. I'm excited for that one. That one again is 7:57 on TBS. It all starts at 3:10 on True TV. Man, I love this time when we get to March Madness, Colfax, because there's all these channels that normally don't carry sports are now loaded up with basketball because we've got to put them somewhere. The Texas Southern Tigers taking on Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers. That's a long name. So I'm going to go with Mount St. Mary's Mountaineers. What do you think? You like that pick?
Can't go wrong with that.
I like it. That starts at 3:10 on True TV. Then at 4:27, this one's going to be on TBS. So you'll see Drake and the Wichita State going at it. Drake, that's Nico's old team there. So they're going at it tonight for a chance to get in to the next step. And then quite a few, man. And then tomorrow is going to be nuts with Friday with the NIT. I mean, that's the Rams start things off on Friday. The Buffs don't play till Saturday in March Madness. It's going to be great. We're off the air, apparently. March Madness starts tomorrow at 10. So we won't have a show tomorrow. We won't have a show Monday.
Yeah, it'll be fun, though.
Take a little vacation, man.
We'll be at McCarty's having a vacation.
We're going to go to McCarty's Grill for a vacation. Come join us tomorrow. I'll probably be out there a little 10:30 or so. Stay out for a game or two. Grab a beer 50% off and enjoy a game. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on Top Text Tuesday. This gives you hooligans plenty of time to go skip rocks, think about where your life is going, and bring the freaking heat. Top Text Tuesday. We got a signed David Thompson jersey up for grabs. So think about your actions. Bring the heat on Tuesday. We'll enjoy some March Madness. And again, join us tomorrow at McCarty's Grill. Good night, Northern Colorado.